Hello, welcome to Thomas and the Bible, episode 68. We are on 1 Samuel 24. We're going to read through 1 Samuel 26. Yeah, that's about all there is to say. Got a few days behind, but I'm trying to keep the pace of once a week. I just am amazed at how short a week is and how how long this book is. That ratio is tough. But yeah, trying to keep that up. I'm doing my best. Let's see. Anything else? Thank you to people who have written reviews. That's the best thing ever. Just anyone who hasn't written a review on iTunes, I really appreciate it. It helps out a lot. Keeps the podcast visible, that kind of thing. So please do that if you haven't. And to everyone who has, thank you very much. I saw the first negative review in a while. And I think it's by a Christian, so that's fine. Or they said they used to be a Christian or something. But that person had only listened to the first three episodes. And I don't even remember that. They could have sucked, for all I know. For all I know, they all suck. I don't know. But for some reason, people keep listening to it. But anyway, that's fine. Even if you don't like it, review it. I don't care. Whatever. Just be honest. I don't know. If you're listening to this episode, I don't know how you have gotten through it if you don't like it, but I can't even get through it and I'm doing it. If this were my favorite book, I'd have a hard time getting through how long and boring it is. That doesn't make any sense. Anyway, okay, we'll just get started. And it came to pass when Saul was returned from following the Philistines that it was told him, saying, "Behold, David is in the wilderness of En-Gedi." Then Saul took 3,000 chosen men out of all Israel and went to seek David and his men upon the rocks of the wild goats. Yeah, so Saul probably, I don't know if you remember what's happening. Saul's been chasing David all around the world, for virtually no reason. And so what happened here is Saul probably got back from chasing David the first time, or the eighth time, I don't even know, a million times. You never know with the Bible. It's could be time 100. He probably did 10 minutes of work, had some people have him sign some things and, do some legislating and some, enact some laws, some boring, political work. He's the king. He's got to do something, right? He probably has some responsibilities, right? Probably people holding audience, and that probably happened for about 10 minutes. He's like, "Oh my God, I'm bored. This is so boring. Hey, has anyone seen David anywhere?" No. Even the slightest rumor of his whereabouts? No, I don't. Nobody's heard anything. I don't. Listen, I don't. You're not listening to me. I will pay handsomely for even the most vague rumor or hint or conjecture of where David might be, regardless of whether or not it turns out to be true. Just. Do you understand what I'm saying, everyone? And some guy's like, "Oh, yeah, I just remembered. I totally thought I saw something that looked like a person in the wilderness of En-Gedi. And David's a person, right? It could have been him. It totally could have been him. I didn't put it together until you very subtly solicited my help. It totally could have been him." And then Saul's like, "All right, oh, that's him. We got to go. Hey, everybody, let's go. Let's get out of here. I guess all this king work will have to wait. Damn, I was just going to get to it. But this guy says he definitely saw David 100%. So I can't just let that go undealt with, So the work will keep, keep all that work for me, all that king. Oh man, when I get back, once I've gotten David, I'm just going to be the kingest king you've ever seen. Oh man, am I going to be a king?" Yeah. So that's probably how that went. He goes back for 10 minutes and then he leaves again, oh man, I'm bored. Where's David? And he came to the sheepcotes, by the way, where was a cave, and Saul went in to cover his feet. And David and his men remained in the sides of the cave. And the men of David said unto him, Behold the day of which the Lord said unto thee, Behold, I will deliver thine enemy into thine hand, that thou mayest do to him as it shall seem good unto thee. Then David arose and cut off the skirt of Saul's robe privily. And again, so not only is he wearing a skirt, he now has no skirt. So it's just a... I don't think they had underwear back then. So we just got... Saul's just... And he doesn't know about it because David did it privily. So he's just kind of hanging out. Like, I picture him kind of standing with his arms on his hips like, huh, where's that David? And his penis hanging out. And it came to pass afterward that David's heart smote him because he had cut off Saul's skirt. And he said unto his men, The Lord forbid that I should do this thing unto my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch forth mine hand against him, seeing that he is the anointed of the Lord. So David stayed his servants with these words, and suffered them not to rise against Saul. But Saul rose up out of the cave and went on his way. So this already happened once, I'm pretty sure. David spares Saul, right? Hold on. Oh, or this could be the first. I don't know. I think this is the second time, but I don't feel like going back and ruining my life more by reading the same garbage again. So, yeah. So David's not killing Saul, even though he's... But Saul keeps... This is so stupid and fake. Saul keeps wandering into these situations, like caves where he could just easily be killed, and David's like, I'm going to prove to him that I'm not going to kill him by... cutting off a piece of his dress that he's wearing and, you know, the piece that covers his penis. And I'm going to cut that off and not his penis, just the dress. And then later I'll reveal it and say, look, I have your skirt that you were wearing. And he'll be like, oh man, he could have killed me. It's just, I don't know how many times he's going to do this, but it's more than one. So buckle up. David also arose afterward and went out of the cave and cried after Saul saying, my Lord, the king. And when Saul looked behind him, David stooped with his face to the earth and bowed himself. And David said to Saul, wherefore hearest thou men's words, saying, behold, David seeketh thy hurt. Behold, this day thine eyes have seen how the Lord hath delivered thee today into mine hand in the cave. And some bade me kill thee, but mine eye spared thee. And I said, I will not put forth my hand against the Lord, for he is the Lord's anointed. Moreover, my father, see, yea, what? My father, comma, see, comma, ye, or yea, y-e-a, comma, see the skirt, a lot of commas. Moreover, my father, see, ye, see the skirt of thy robe in mine hand. For in that I cut off the skirt of thy robe and killed thee not, just saw your balls hanging out, that's all, no harm done. Know thou and see that there is neither evil nor transgression in mine hand, merely your balls. And I have not sinned against thee, yet thou huntest my soul to take it. The Lord judge between me and thee, and the Lord avenge me of thee, but thine hand shall not be upon thee. As saith the proverb of the ancients, wickedness proceedeth from the wicked, but mine hand shall not be upon thee. After whom is the king of Israel come out? After whom dost thou pursue? After a dead dog? After a flea? The Lord, therefore, be judge, and judge between me and thee, and see, and plead my cause, and deliver me out of thine hand. And it came to pass, when David had made an end speaking these words into Saul, Saul said, Is this thy voice, my son David? And David lifted up his voice and wept. And he said to David, Thou art more righteous than I, for thou hast rewarded me good, whereas I have rewarded thee evil. And thou hast shewed this day how that thou hast dealt well with me. For as much as when the Lord had delivered me into thine hand, thou killedst me not. For if a man... So Saul was essentially saying, Look, truth be told, I don't really have a problem with you. I was just looking for something to do. You have no idea how boring it is back at home. I got nothing to do. There's just peasants complaining about food this or being killed that, you know, just garbage. I just wanted to get out, see the landscape a bit, maybe kill a few things, just normal stuff. I honestly don't have a problem with you. Why would I? You know, there's no, Certainly nothing that's in this book that would cause me to have a problem with you. And thou hast shewed this day how thou hast dealt... Well, I already read that. For if a man find his enemy, will he let him go well away? Wherefore the Lord reward thee good for that thou hast done unto me this day. And now, behold, I know well that thou shalt surely be king, and that the kingdom of Israel shall be established in thine hand. Swear now, therefore, unto me by the Lord, that thou wilt not cut off my seed after me, and that thou wilt not destroy my name out of my father's house. And David sware unto Saul, and Saul went home, but David and his men gat them up into the field. That's the end of that chapter. So I can't remember if this already happened or if it's just because I've read this before and it's so boring and repetitive that I can't keep track of it. But David spared Saul, and Saul, you know, at the end, Saul was like, "Oh, you're so great. I take it all back. I'm not going to try to kill you. You're totally going to be king, man. You're much better king than I am." Maybe he just was really drunk. "Oh, dude, I have been such an asshole. You're such a good king. No, listen, you're such a good king. You're going to be such a good king. And all I did was I took that and I just shat all over it. And I tried to kill you several hundred times. And I'm sorry. No, listen, listen. I've been wanting to tell you this for a long time. You're going to be a better king than I am. And don't just listen to what I'm you know." And then he's going to wake up the next day and be like, "Ah, did I say all that crap? Oh, shit. I better go kill him. I better go kill David. He witnessed a drunk me, a side of me I didn't want him to see." And Samuel died, and all the Israelites were gathered together. Oh, yeah, by the way, that person who was the point of this chapter, you know, whose name is in the chapter, he died, you know. And not only that, this chapter is called 1 Samuel, implying that there's a second book of Samuel. Now, I don't know if Samuel gave birth to another guy named Samuel, which is possible, but I don't think so. Samuel has not been very involved in his own book, you know. That's one thing, and to his credit, now that I think about it, because Moses and all those other people whose names I don't remember, you know, when they had a book, like, they were the book. Well, okay, there's a book of Moses, but when they had a book that was about them, it was just them, you know. It's just Moses this, Moses that. Let's see, who else was it? Let's go back to the number. Yeah, remember Numbers? Mr. Numbers, just everything was about him. Mr. Numbers did this, Mr. Numbers did that. Now, I guess their Joshua would be one. That's the first one that's actually named after a person, now that I think about it. But yeah, that was all about Joshua. Joshua did this, Joshua did that. There's a little book of Ruth that was all about Ruth, but that book was like 2 seconds long, so I can't really blame Ruth for that. But yeah, here's a guy who has two books named after him, and he's barely in them. So I don't know what that means, but I guess I kind of applaud it. Good for him. You know, doesn't have to be the center of attention all the time. Can tell a boring story about a guy trying to kill another guy for no reason over and over and being spared. Isn't that much better? Yeah. And there was a man in... I don't even think I finished that verse. Samuel died. All the Israelites were gathered together and lamented him. And they said, "Let's write a book. Take that back. Let's write two books for this great man who has died this day. And let's not have him be in them barely at all." And everyone's like, "Yeah, you know what? That's a fitting tribute. That's a fitting tribute. I agree." Excuse me. What was I reading? And David arose and went down to the wilderness of Paran. I guess David's not very affected by this. He's like, whatever. I didn't really know Samuel that well because he hasn't been in this book very much. So I'm not going to cry over this guy. And there was a man in Maon. It's Moan, but with a different order of the A. I am a little dyslexic, so that's throwing me off. We'll just say Maon. It sounds like I'm saying moan with an annoying accent. Maon. Maon. Stop moaning. There was a man in Maon whose possessions were in Carmel. And the man, why is that important? And the man was very great, and he had 3,000 sheep. Yeah, that is pretty great. I don't, you know what? Even the greatest person I know doesn't have 3,000 sheep. That guy, my friend, has like 1,500 sheep, which is roughly half the sheep that this guy has. So that's just giving you an idea. And 1,000 goats. I didn't even get to that. This guy's got 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats. He's very great. And he was shearing his sheep in Carmel. All 3,000 of them. Don't know if I mentioned that. 3,000. Where the hell am I? Oh, now the name of... that's it. He was shearing his sheep in Carmel. Now the name of this man was Nabal, and the name of his wife Abigail. And she was a woman of good understanding and of beautiful countenance. But the man was churlish and evil in his doings. And he was of the house of Caleb. Oh, well, you know what that means. I don't need to tell you about people from the house of Caleb. And David heard in the wilderness that Nabal did shear his sheep. And David sent out 10 young men. And David said unto the young men, get you up to Carmel, and go to Nabal, and greet him in my name. And thus shall you say to him, that liveth in prosperity, peace be both to thee, and peace be to thine household. And peace be unto all that thou hast. And now I have heard that thou hast shearers. Now thy shepherds which were with us, we hurt them not, neither was there aught missing unto them, all the while they were in Carmel. Ask thy young men, and they will shew thee. Wherefore, let the young man find favor in thine eyes, for we come in good day. Give, I pray thee, whatsoever cometh to thine hand, unto thy servants, and unto thy son David. And this guy's like, I don't have a son, David. What the hell is this guy David talking about? I don't have a son, David. And when David's young men came, they spoke to Nabal according to all those words in the name of David and ceased. And Nabal answered David's servants and said, who is David? And who is the son of Jesse? There be many servants nowadays that break away from every man from his master. Shall I take then my bread and my water and my flesh that I have killed for my shearers and give it unto the men whom I know not whence they be? So David's young men turned their way, and went again, and came and told him all these sayings. And David said unto his men, gird ye on every man his sword. And they girded on every man his sword. Good girding. Well girded. and David also girded his sword, and said, like, was my girding good? Yes, it was good girding. Now that we're all girded... and there went up after David about 400 men, and 200 abode by the stuff. It's kind of an interesting phrasing there. Abode by the stuff. Hey, all that stuff, just abode by it. Abide by that stuff. They're all like, the dude abides by the stuff. But one of the young men told Abigail, Nabal's wife. So, hold on. Do I need to stop now? Let's see. Okay. Yeah, I'll stop now. So... I don't know if you followed this completely out of the blue, pointless story, but David is wandering around, comes across this awesome guy. I don't know if I told you, he has 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats, so he's a badass. This guy's a badass. And he's just minding his own business, and David sees him, and he sends some men. He's like, hey, go tell that guy, whose name is Nabal, go tell Nabal that... we didn't hurt his men while they were around us, and we didn't hurt him or steal anything. So therefore, he should give me some things. He should give you food and give me food. And then they're like, "Okay, are you sure? Okay, we'll go tell him that. If he's the boss, man, it doesn't make any sense to me, but we'll go talk to him." And so they did. And Nabal, who the Bible has portrayed as like this asshole, is like this. This guy's an asshole. Just listen to what he does, you know. Gosh, I can't get rid of this cough. Excuse me. The Bible's like, look, just wait till see what this asshole did. And all that he did was he said, like, I don't know you guys, and I don't know David, so I'm not going to give you anything. Which, okay, is not friendly. I understand. But you're out in the middle of... rough times where people can just kill each other and whatever, like, and food is probably not the most abundant thing. And you got a lot of men. So he says, you know, I'm not going to give you my food. That's for my men and stuff. And so he sends them on their way. And then they come back to David, and David's like, that dick, you know? And I just, I love this, like, entitlement that because David is quote unquote a man of God, like, he's entitled to all these things. Like, David just needs to say, hey, I didn't kill your men, so give me food. Like, that's what he said, essentially. It's like, I didn't kill or steal from your men. So why don't you, you know, kick me over a few loaves of bread and what a million loaves of bread, you know, whatever. And so now David's, so he didn't give him anything. And now David's like, oh, that's it. We're killing this guy. So everyone girded their sword. But one of the young men told Abigail, Nabal's wife, saying, behold, David sent messengers out of the wilderness to salute our master. And he railed on them. He didn't hurt him. He hurt my throat, apparently. But the men were very good unto us, and we were not hurt, neither we missed anything, as long as we were conversant with them when we were in the fields. They were a wall unto us both by night and day, all the while we were with them keeping the sheep. Okay, so according to this guy, who we don't know to be a reliable source, I've heard things about this guy. According to this guy, David's men protected the other men. But I don't know. Personally, I think those other men wouldn't have been out there if they needed protection. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like this is their first sheep and goat rodeo. You know, this is their job. I don't think that, and this is where they live. You know, it's not like, what if someone came to your house and or stood in your backyard and you were in your backyard and they just stood there and then they come back and ask you for food. They're like, whoa, I protected you. Nothing hurt you while you were in your backyard. It's like, yeah, I guess that's technically true, but I don't, you know, this is my backyard. Like, I'm not, if I can't protect, be out of danger in my backyard, then I don't even know why I live here. Like, what if, so yeah, that's what I think about that. Excuse me. Oh my God, this is so stupid. Just a tickle in my throat. Now, therefore, or am I in the right spot? But the men were very good, blah, blah, blah. They were a wall unto us, keeping the sheep. Now, therefore, know and consider what thou wilt do, for evil is determined against our master and against all his household, for he is such a son of Belial that a man cannot speak to him. Then Abigail made haste and took 200 loaves and 2 bottles of wine and 5 sheep ready dressed. She dressed them up, you know, in their finest, in their Sunday best, and 5 measures of parched corn, and 100 clusters of raisins, and that means just 100 of those little boxes of raisins, you know, those little red boxes. She took 100 of them. 200 cakes of figs, and laid them on asses. And she said unto her servants, go on before me, behold, I come after you. But she told not her husband Nabal. And it was so, as she rode on the ass, that she came down by the covert of a hill. Behold, David and his men came down against her, and she met them. Now David had said, surely, in vain have I kept all that this fellow hath in the wilderness, so that nothing was missed of all that pertained unto him. Listen to this entitlement, and he hath requited me evil for good. Yeah, David's saying, like, God, how dare this guy? I didn't steal any of his stuff, and he's just being an asshole about it. You know, like, what did he protect his men from? His men live here. You know, or I mean, I guess there's a chance that there could have been an attack or something, but I don't know what. It's just such a weird logic to me. This is the entitlement. Like, because David is the center of the universe, this guy just has to give him his hard earned food. You know, it's like, and this guy's the dick. Nabal's the dick. It's like, I think David's the dick. So and more also do God unto the enemies of David, if I leave all that pertain to him by morning light, any that pisseth against the wall. And that's an awesome phrase. Which essentially means he's going to kill all the men. Like, because of this, what he perceives to be this, you know, this insult, he's going to just kill every single man. The slight, you know. And when Abigail... I got to pause. I don't know why I have this stupid cough. It won't go away. Hold on. Okay. Hopefully that'll help, but I'm not promising anything. There's just a weird tickle in my throat. Abigail saw David. She hasted and lighted off the ass and fell before David on her face and bowed herself to the ground and fell at his feet and said, upon me, my Lord, upon me, let this iniquity be And let thine handmaid, I pray thee, speak in thine audience, and hear the words of thine handmaid. Let not, my lord, as I pray thee, regard this man of Belial, even Nabal, for as his name is, so is he. Nabal is his name, and folly is within him. But I, thine handmaid, saw not the young men of my lord whom thou didst send. Now therefore, my lord, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, seeing the Lord hath withholden thee from coming to shed blood, and from avenging myself with thine own hand, now let thine enemies, and let thee that seek evil to my lord, be as Nabal. And let they that seek evil to my lord be as Nabal. I don't know what that means. She's just saying don't kill everyone, which seems reasonable. And now this blessing which thine handmaid hath brought unto the Lord, unto my lord, let it be given unto the young men that follow my lord. I pray thee, forgive the trespass of thine handmaid, for the Lord will certainly make my lord a sure house. Because my lord... Too many pronouns. Because my lord fighteth the battles of the Lord. Because there's the Lord and my lord. That shouldn't be allowed. And you can't see, the Lord is in caps. You know, I should say the Lord every time it's in caps, and my lord is not. And evil hath been found in thee all these days. Yet a man is risen to pursue thee and to seek thy soul. But the soul of my lord, that's regular my lord, the soul of my lord, I'll whisper it, it's not caps, the soul of my lord shall be bound, which means David, you know, my lord, you know, she's speaking to him, my lord, be bound in the bundle of life with the Lord thy God, and the souls of thine enemy, and them shall he sling out as out of the middle of a sling. I guess she's heard of his prowess with a sling somehow. Either that or she's just making random reference to a sling. Seems weird that she somehow knows about his proficiency with a sling. If you remember, David killed Goliath with a sling. And it shall come to pass when the Lord shall have done to my Lord, according to all that the good that he hath spoken concerning thee, and shall have appointed thee ruler over Israel, that this shall be no grief unto thee, nor offense of heart unto my lord, either that thou hast shed blood causeless, or that my lord hath avenged himself. But when the Lord shall have dealt well with my lord, then remember thine handmaid. God, that's confusing. I think the tone of voice helps. Otherwise, that is confusing as shit, hearing different lords. And the Lord, my lord, the Lord, my lord. And, I think it's easier for me because I'm seeing it, but you guys are listening to it, you know, assuming you're not following along, which, you know, if you are, more power to you, but man, that is dedication. And David said to Abigail, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, which sent thee this day to meet me. And blessed be thy advice, and blessed be thou, which hast kept me this day from coming to shed blood, and from avenging myself with mine own hand. For in very deed, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, which hath kept me back from hurting thee, except thou hadst hasted and come to meet me. Surely there had not been left unto Nabal by the morning light any that pisseth against the wall." So any guy who sits down to pee would have been fine, which I don't think existed back then, but I'm just this hypothetically. Or any woman who somehow pees against the wall. I don't know why or how she would do that, but maybe she feels like it. I don't know. Something involving like a rope, like if you're rappelling down a wall, maybe. It seems like she could pee against a wall in that scenario. Or if there's just part of a wall and the rest has fallen over, seems like she could probably make that work. So I'm just saying that David would have to kill that woman and not the guy who crouches to pee. Anyway. And dogs, too. Female dogs would be fine. Male dogs, they'd be dead. Anyway, David received of her hand that which she brought him, and said unto her, "Go up in peace to thine house. See, I have hearkened to thy voice, and I have accepted thy person." And Abigail came to Nabal, and behold, he held a feast in his house like the feast of a king. And Nabal's heart was merry within him, for he was very drunken. Wherefore she told him nothing, less or more, until the morning light. But it came to pass in the morning, when the wine was gone out of Nabal, and his wife had told him these things, that his heart died within him, and he became a stone. And it came to pass about 10 days after that the Lord smote Nabal, that he died. So So this woman who went behind his back and apologized to David for nothing and gave him all this stuff, she told her husband, and her husband just died of a heart attack. I'm sorry to laugh for any of, I don't know, anyone who's a family member of this guy, but it's kind of, I don't know, it's just, I just love how twisted the narrative is. Like, everything is just, when it comes to our hero, David, like, everything that he does is gold, and, like, everything everyone else does is shit. You know, this poor guy, he just had a farm and some sheep and stuff and some people, and he was having a merry old party with, you know, with some people, and we have no evidence that he was evil. You know, it's not like he was having a party where he ate and then killed a bunch of people. Like, presumably he was having a nice, merry get-together with some people and, you know, celebrating his bounty, not giving away his food to any asshole who comes and just says, like, hey, I didn't kill your men. Give me food, you know? And then he dies. Like, that's the end of that guy. So yeah, that's that. And when David heard that Nabal was dead, he said, blessed be the Lord that hath pleaded the cause of my reproach from the hand of Nabal, and hath kept his servant from evil. For, hold on a sec. Oh yeah, that's right, I didn't write a note, but I meant to say something about this. And David sent and communed with Abigail to take her to him to wife. Yeah, so when Nabal dies, David is like, oh, the Lord is so great. Sorry, the Lord is so great because he killed Nabal for me so that I didn't have to sin. It's another awesome, like, the world revolves around you kind of argument. Like, oh, man, the Lord killed a guy because I was about to kill him and he didn't want me to sin. That's, yeah, the Lord does that. Even though the guy was totally innocent, the Lord's like, oh, shit, David's going to kill him. Well, even though he's done nothing wrong, I guess I better kill him first. I can't have David sinning. You know, that's pretty convenient. And when the servants of David were come to Abigail to Carmel, they spake unto her, saying, excuse me, David sent us unto thee to take thee to him to wife. And she arose and bowed herself on her face to the earth and said, behold, let thine handmaid be a servant to wash the feet of the servants of my lord. And my lord. And Abigail hasted and arose and rode upon an ass with five damsels of hers that went after her, and she went after the messengers of David and became his wife. Easy as that. David also took Ahinoam of Jezreel, and they were also both of them his wives. It's just a nice little verse there. Oh yeah, well, while he was at it, you know, if you're already at the wife store, don't just buy one wife. Don't just grab one wife. That's why I buy my wives at Costco, because you get the chub pack, you know, you get the bulk pack of wives, because you don't want, I mean, you're there at the store, you know, you don't want to, if you're getting a wife, you don't want to make two trips. Like, what if that wife just dies, like, you know, 5 days later? You don't want to be like, ah, shit, my wife died, I got to go to Costco again. You know, you don't want to say that, you know. You buy the big chub pack of wives. You know, that's why David, while he was in a marrying mood, already has one wife, by the way. Already married once. I don't know what happened to that woman. She's this daughter of Saul, so that could have something to do with it. Nevertheless, she was good to him. If you recall, she helped him get away from Saul, I'm pretty sure. And she's out of the picture, I guess. And he's like, well, I haven't had a wife in a while, so I'll have two wives, you know. But Saul, oh, it says it right here. But Saul had given Michal, his daughter, David's wife, to Phalti, the son of Laish. Oh. Okay, well, I guess, sorry, I forgot about that. I guess Saul gave his wife to someone else. Oh, well. Easy come, easy go. That's the end of that chapter. So now we're on our final chapter of the Bible. The entire Bible is over. I know, I thought Jesus was in it and stuff, but no, that's a common misconception. It actually ends 1 Samuel 26. We never get to find out what happens in 2 Samuel. Ah, oh, would that were true. Would that were true. 1 Samuel 26. And the Ziphites came unto Saul to Gibeah, saying, doth not David hide himself in the hill of Hakalah, which is before Jeshimon? Then Saul arose and went down to the wilderness of Ziph, having 3,000 chosen men of Israel with him, to seek David in the wilderness of Ziph. Same thing again. Like I said, Saul gets home and he's like, oh my God, I can't do this. I can't do another minute of this. I've been working. How long has it been? It's been 32 minutes. I've been working for 32 minutes. I can't do this anymore. That's like almost an hour. And I can't do this. Hey, has anyone heard from David lately? Because we probably should kill that guy, right? I mean, I don't remember why we were trying to kill him in the first place, but when we set out to do something, we might as well do it, right? So, anyone heard from David? Someone's like, oh, yes, I'm going to make another couple bucks. Yeah, I heard David was in the wilderness of Ziph or something, if that's even a place. I don't know. That's what I heard. Let's go. Let's go. And Saul pitched in the hill of Hachala, which is before. Or, no, skip something. No, I don't think so. Saul, you wouldn't notice if I did. Saul pitched in the hill of Hachala, which is before Jeshimon, by the way. comma, by the way. But David abode in the wilderness and saw that Saul came after him into the wilderness. David therefore sent out spies and understood that Saul was come in very deed. And David arose and came to the place where Saul had pitched. And, oh, there's that yawn. And David beheld the place where Saul lay, and he looked like an angel. And Abner, the son of Ner, the captain of his host, and Saul lay in the trench, and the people pitched around about him. Then answered David and said to Ahimelech the Hittite, and to Abishai the son of Zeruiah, the brother of Joab, saying, that sounds like I'm saying Job, who I don't think we've come across Job yet. I don't know. No, because that would be the book of Job. We haven't read the book of Job. Anyway, that sounds like Joab, sounds like Job, but with a weird accent. Joab. So we got, what was the other one? I can't remember. Something A-R. More. Roar. A-R. I don't know. Anyway, so we got that, and we've got Joab. Joab. Hey, it's my brother Joab. who will go down with me to Saul to the camp? Who wants to mess with Saul? I got the shaving cream, and we we got a feather and shaving cream, which was in every movie back in the 90s. And Abishai said, I will go down with thee. And David and Abishai came to the people by night, and behold, Saul lay sleeping within the trench. And they're like, oh, this is gonna be great. He's got the Sharpie. Let's draw a penis on his face. And his spear stuck in the ground at his bolster. But Abner and the people lay. You know, you could get away with drawing a penis on someone's face with a Sharpie for a long time back then, I bet. If you got everyone in on it, just said, don't tell him there's a penis on his face. You know, because it's not like they had mirrors everywhere. Occasionally, you might come to a body of water, I guess, but you could cover that by just making sure you're next to him and just splashing all the time. Like, oh, sorry, I'm trying to catch a fish here. There's, you know, just making sure the water's never still. And then you're covered. And then a guy could have seriously, a penis and balls on his face back then with Sharpie for infinite time. I don't even know, like months. It's not like they washed themselves very well. That's amazing. I hope somebody did that somehow. This is just the leader of this people has a penis drawn on his forehead just forever. No one tells him. Hey, no one say anything. Then said Abishai to David, God hath delivered thine enemy into thine hands this day. Now therefore let me smite him, I pray thee, with the spear, even to the earth, at once, and I will not smite him the second time. Smite me once, shame on you. Smite me twice. And David said unto Abishai, destroy him not, for who can stretch forth his hand against the Lord's anointed, and be guiltless? David said furthermore, as the Lord liveth, the Lord shall smite him, or this day shall come to die, or he shall descend into battle and perish. The Lord forbid that I should stretch forth mine hand against the Lord's anointed. But I pray thee, take thou now the spear that is at his bolster, and the cruse of water, and that Sharpie, and draw a penis on his face. So David took the spear and the cruse of water and the Sharpie from Saul's bolster, drew a penis on his face, and they gat them away. And no man saw it nor knew it. Neither, you know, I just thought about it. Back to those 90s kids movies where they'd spray shaving cream in the guy's hand and then they'd take a feather and tickle his face. And he'd like, you know, and he or tickled different parts of it, and slapped it, you know, touch it, and get the shaving cream all over him. You know, the guy's asleep. Why don't you just spray shaving cream all over him? Why do you, with this convoluted method of getting, is it just funny to watch him, I guess, shaving cream himself? But really, the end result is just shaving cream all over the guy. You could just save the time, just spray it everywhere, you know, and then that's that. And then just set the feather there, and he'll think you did the feather part if that's important to you. Just a tip, just a pro tip. And they got them away, and no man saw it nor knew it, neither awaked, for they were all asleep, because a deep sleep from the Lord was fallen upon them. This deep sleep, courtesy of the Lord. So shouldn't they guard Saul a little better than that? Somehow a group of men can go down to where he's sleeping, debate loudly whether or not they're going to kill him, or who's going to draw the best, who draws the best penis with a Sharpie, have a quick penis drawing contest, decide that matter, and then leave undetected. Who does Saul's security? That's what I want to know, because this is terrible, king defensemanship. I don't think this would really happen in real life, that you'd be able to go and do all that. Then David went over to it could just be the worst king in the history of time, which could be true, but I think he would be dead by now if this could just happen all the time, you know? And stood on the top, David went and stood on a hill, and a great space being between them. And David cried to the people and to Abner and the son of Ner, saying, "Answerest thou not, Abner?" And Abner answered and said, "Who art thou that criest to the king?" And David said to Abner, "Art thou not a valiant man? And who is like thee in Israel? Wherefore then hast thou not kept thy lord the king? For there came one of the people to destroy the king thy lord. This thing is not good that thou hast done. And as the Lord liveth, as the Lord liveth, ye are worthy to die because ye have not kept your master, the Lord's anointed. And now see where the king's spear is." And the guy's like, "Oh shit, I don't want to know where the king's spear is. Ah, crap. Look for the king's spear, everyone. I'm just going to check the king. And the cruse of water that was at his bolster." And Saul knew David's voice and said, "Is this thy voice, my son David?" And, oh, he's his son again. And David said, "It is my voice, O Lord, my Lord, O king." And he said, "Wherefore doth my Lord thus pursue after his servant? For what have I done? Or what evil is in mine hand? Now, therefore, I pray thee, let my Lord the king hear the words of his servant. If the Lord hath stirred thee up against me, let him accept an offering. But if they be the children of men, cursed be they before the Lord. For they have driven me out of this day from abiding in the inheritance of the Lord, saying, Go serve other gods. Now therefore, let not my blood fall to the earth before the face of the Lord, for the king of Israel is come out to seek a flea, as when one doth hunt a partridge in the mountains, or a partridge family. Then said Saul, I have sinned. Return, my son David, for I will no more do thee harm, because my soul was precious in thine eyes on this day. Behold, I have played the fool, and have erred exceedingly. And David answered and said, Behold the king's spear, and let one of the young men come over and fetch it. And the king's like, Oh, not again. Is my spear out? Sorry, guys. My dress must have been chopped off again. And the Lord render to every man his righteousness and his faithfulness. For the Lord delivereth thee into mine hand this day, but I would not stretch forth mine hand against the Lord's anointed. And behold, as thy life was as much set by this day in mine eyes, so let my life be much set by in the eyes of the Lord, and let him deliver me out of all tribulation. Then Saul said to David, Blessed be thou, my son David, thou shalt do great things, and thou shalt still prevail. So David went on his way, and Saul returned to his place. So that's that. That's the end of that. The Bible has really set the bar high on repetition. I don't know that anything will ever live up to this. I don't even think the Macarena is as repetitive per capita as this stupid book. I can't wait to move on someday to something a little more interesting than this one idiot guy going out and trying to kill David 100 times and then being talked out of it and being like, man, I should go kill David, and then doing it again. And yeah, by the way, as I mentioned, Samuel died earlier in this chapter. Very minor detail in a book called 1 Samuel, you know. And it just said, like, and Samuel died, blah, blah, blah. Who cares? He's Samuel. No one cares about that. It's not like this book is called Samuel, as my headphones go crashing. So that was weird. I don't know what else is in store. But if David has to spare Saul again, I'm going to be a little disappointed. But yeah, I guess I'll see you guys next reading. trying to keep once a week. I'm trying my best. It's really boring, but I'm trying to do it for you guys. And thanks so much. Please like me on Facebook, facebook.com/TNTheB. And also check out F This Podcast. We're going to record an episode this week. I think that podcast is really funny. It's a lot funnier than this one. This one sucks. But anyway, I think that one's pretty good. And you should check it out. And if you have, sorry that I keep giving you this advertisement, so feel free to ignore it. But if you haven't checked it out, at least kind of try it. And I'll see you guys next episode. As usual, feel free to leave comments, messages on the Facebook. I always read them and appreciate it. And hopefully I reply, but I don't have access to Facebook all that much because I don't have it at work anymore, which blows. That's another story. That's it. I'll see you next episode.